The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. We receive mighty utterance from your word this evening, birthing revelation and transformation in our hearts that will not leave us the same. In Jesus' name. Glory to God. Have your seats. Glory to God. Amen. Is it, you know, I love the response most of us have to the music. Amen. Some of you that were around for the workers' training. Remember I said something like this. We don't just sing in church. Singing is not what we do to wait for prayer or to wait for the message. You understand? It's a very important part of the service. It's a very important. Sometimes it can be longer. Deliberately, sometimes not deliberately. But then whenever it comes, you must make the most of it. Same thing with prayer. You don't use prayer to wait for the message to come. Okay? Neither do you use message to wait for prayer. All parts of the service are so important. And they are going to bless you. Amen. So responding to God's word. Are you still here? So, we're looking at something on Sunday, you know, during the first and the second service. We're looking at how well to respond to prophecies. Prophecies. And we're looking at this because prophecies come to pass, you know, not necessarily because, how do I put this now? Prophecies will come to pass, not just because God has said it. But because of your response to it. And I say something on Sunday. There are actually some prophecies that by God's design, they shouldn't come to pass. I get what I'm saying? By God's design, they shouldn't happen. I gave you an example. Whenever there are three kinds of prophetic words. Remember, I gave that on Sunday. Remember? You won't find it in any book anyway. So... is in the Bible, but it's God's wisdom to me. First is the will of God. There's a category of prophetic word called the will of God, where God tells you what He intends to do. So you're praying and the Lord says to you, I am going to heal you. That's the prophetic word. That is God's will revealed. And when that is the case, the intention of God in this particular case is that it will happen. I get the point? But like we were showing last week, how you respond to this too will determine first whether it will happen. And let me even add, will determine how fast it can happen. Can God say something that is His will and yet it will not come to pass? The answer is actually yes. The reason is because when God speaks forth His will, what He doesn't do is to impose that will on anybody. He doesn't do that. For instance, God can say, I want this person saved. Just like He has said concerning all unbelievers on earth. He wants them saved. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9 tells us about God who will not want anyone to perish, but that all should come to repentance. So He wants all men saved. However, what He will not do is to force all men to be saved. So God wants all men to be saved, His will. Man being saved will now be man's response to the will of God. Do you know what I'm saying? That same way, you have prayed this year now. God has told you, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. That's His will revealed. Now, whether those things will now happen will not be dependent on your response to his will. Are you getting what I'm talking about here? Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
So it's actually all over the Bible. And we're going to look at some more of it today. That God can say a thing, but what God has said is dependent on the man that has received it to bring it to pass. So what God has said is God's will. Man's response to it will now be man's permission. And I already said it already. Man's response will determine whether it will come to pass and determine how fast it can come to pass. So I can be praying in this church and I declare, thus says the Lord. Every young man here, you know, but you know, before you are 30, you're going to be this and you're going to be that. Some people, by next week it will happen to them. Others, next 3 weeks. Others, next 6 months. Others, next 8 months. The mistake people make is to say, that's God's time. That is the concept of God's time. Because, I don't know if I'll get to that today, because there are prophetic words that actually carry timing. That one day. You get the point? There are prophetic words that carry time, and no matter what you do, you cannot bring it to come faster than that. I give an example, childbirth. Do you understand? God said you're going to have a child, and you're now taking. No matter what you do, you have to wait in 9 months. Now, that is not delay. That is just timing. Process. I get what I'm saying? So there are certain things God will tell you that we have doubts, we'll have a certain length of time. God can tell you, as you are doing your ministry, in 5 years' time, I'm going to do this and do this for your ministry. No matter what you do, it can't come before 5 years. So there is that part. But I'm saying there are prophetic words that don't carry timing. Yet, people will receive it faster than others because of their response to it. And we're going to look at some of those things today. So there is another category of the will of God. The first one I said is, first category of prophetic word is the will of God. The second is the consequence of your action. Do you remember? The consequence of your action. So when this kind of prophetic word comes, it is not just God saying, look at what I want to happen. It is God telling you, look at what will happen if you continue doing this. So God can come to someone, I gave an example on Sunday, and say, the way you are going about your studies, with how unserious you are going to have an extra year. That is not God saying what he wants. I get the point. That's why I say there are prophetic words that should not come to pass. It's not the intention of God that it should happen. With the way you are going, you're going to have an extra year. What is God saying? I don't have an extra year. But if you continue this way, so that prophetic word now, you will not say God said what he wanted. I get what I'm talking about. You only say God said what will happen if you keep doing what you're doing. You find that all over scriptures. Where God will tell Israel, if you hearken to the voice of the Lord of God, this will happen. If you don't hearken, you'll be delivered to your enemies. I get what I'm saying. We saw that example when, that's 1 Chronicles chapter 25. Amaziah was going to go to battle. And he had hired soldiers to join him to the battle. And the man of God came to him and said, these soldiers should not go with you. That's 1 Chronicles 25, I think verse 9. These soldiers should not go with you. If they go with you, is it first or second? Check second. If they go with you, you are going to fail. You are going to lose. He said, if you want to go, go. But you are going to, in fact, even told him, prepare yourself. Yeah. And Amasa said to the man of God, okay, go to verse 8. Give me NLT. So you see what I'm talking about. If you let them go with your troops into battle, you will be defeated by the enemy, no matter how well you fight. God is not saying in this case that he wants Amasa to be defeated, but this is what will happen if you keep doing what you have been doing. In fact, King James of this verse told him, prepare yourself. Give me King James. He said, if thou will go, do it. Be strong for the battle. He encouraged, he said, but God shall make thee fall before thy enemy. So he said, fight hard, prepare yourself, equip yourself, but you will fail. Now that is not the will of God revealed. You see what I'm talking about? That is the consequence of whatever action
that this is going to take. And I said on Sunday, many election prophecies are in this category. Many prophecies are in this category. Many prophecies. Well, let's not get into that. So the third example, third category of prophetic word I gave you that day is now satanic agenda. Satanic agenda, where a prophetic word comes to reveal what Satan is planning. Again, you see why I said not every prophetic word should come to pass. Some prophetic words are revealed so that they cannot, that should not happen. It's what I'm talking about. So a man of God is prophesying and looks at you and says, ah, I see death coming to your family. And that's not the time to tell him. It is you and your father that will die. That's not the point. That prophetic word did not come. It doesn't mean God is saying, I want to kill somebody in your house. Death is on. I need blood. So that's not what he's saying. I don't get the point. That's not what God is saying. God is trying to tell you that Satan wants to take somebody in your home. So I'm just saying so that you will know to the end that it will not happen. I get the point. And so we're doing this teaching because there should not be different ways you respond to these things. If you respond well, they will meet to fulfill their purpose. This is also a time to digress, to say to some of you that God is helping as you are beginning to learn how to flow in spiritual things and see things by the Spirit. You must know how to deliver prophetic words and how to interpret it perfectly. Do you understand the point? You say prophetic, I saw, whether I should call him a prophet or not, I don't know. He told the guy, he said, I saw 20 guinea of October, gave him a date and said, you are going to die. And the man was crying. The man was crying. He said, don't cry. You already are buried aground. In other words, saying to him, no matter what you do, you are going to die on that date. Now, that is either not God speaking or the man of God is very unwise. God doesn't talk like that. Except for real, that the person is elderly, has fulfilled his assignment on earth. I told you on Sunday, death is not always a bad thing. I hope you know that. Not every death is bad. Like I will die when I'm done with my assignment here, full old age, fulfilled my ministry. Don't cry if you're alive by then. But I'll live very long, I'm just saying. Don't cry. Do you get the point? I know there is that part of, oh, we miss this person. But there are some tears people shed when people die, and I'm wondering, what's all this for? Somebody is 138 years, and as they're crying, say, I thought you will carry my children. She will not carry your children. I don't know why you're crying. So that's not always bad. But where death is something bad, you can't, for instance, you can't say, there's an accident coming your way on 12th of whatever. And nothing you can do can change. What is that? God doesn't talk like that. I told you, every time a prophetic word reveals the agenda of Satan, there are two purposes. Either to avert it or to exempt the believer. You remember that? Either to avert it, to make sure it doesn't happen entirely, or to exempt the believer from the consequence of the thing happening. So when a negative prophetic word comes, maybe somebody is praying and say, I don't know what I'm seeing, you know, because there are some believers that are actually petty. Somebody can tell you a word that is not so sweet. You say it's the prophet of doom. And I tell you, I've prayed and I've seen people get into trouble. Yes. It doesn't make a prophet of doom. I get what I'm saying. Now, it doesn't mean, now, just that by my own wisdom as a prophet, I'm not going to tell you. I can just tell you, you know what? Just pray this in this direction. Just pray. Do you understand? Because I know God did not reveal it for it to happen. But perhaps someone tells, or maybe you are praying, and you begin to sense something bad about to happen. Now, it doesn't mean you should start, it's not God forbid. And it's not to become afraid. It is to make sure God is showing you to the end that it doesn't happen. Or that it will happen, but you will be exempted from it. Are you following what I'm saying now? Are you following me? God revealed to Joseph through Pharaoh's dream that there will be a famine in the land of Egypt. That didn't make Joseph a prophet of doom. By the wisdom of God, famine could not be averted. But Egypt was exempted from the famine. And that is the wisdom of God again. It's all what I'm talking about. That's the wisdom of God.
So I'm saying this so that you will know that there is a way to respond. On Sunday, we're looking at what to do when these prophetic words come. I said a few things about that. How that when you receive it, when those words come, receive it with your tongue. Remember I said that? Anytime you hear a prophetic word from someone or even receive it in your spirit, maybe God tells you, maybe you're talking about the will of God now. You're praying and God shows you that He's going to expand your business and all of that. Put it in your lips. Your tongue is your hand in the spirit. Remember that? It's with your tongue you receive whatever God gives you. So you say, glory to God, my business is enlarged. What you are doing is you are taking hold of what God has said. Because everything God says to you, you have to accept what happens to you. And how you accept it is with your tongue. That's why again in church you must say a lot of amen. And our address is on Sunday. If I bless you and you do not have your amen, the blessing will pass over you. Because what happened is, I've given, you did not take. Are you following what I'm saying? He said, but I took it with my heart. Mm-mm. Oh, no, KJ, where the thing? It's mouth. You get the point? It's mouth. Even in the case of salvation, believing is the key thing. But he said, if you believe, you must confess with your mouth. Because you can't say you believe something and you don't say it. Why? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So if actually you believe that you are, believe what I'm saying, you must respond with your tongue. Glory to God, I take it personal. You should have those kind of tongues. So this, I take it personal. I receive it. This is mine. I get the point. Whatever God shows you, He wants you to take. Whatever God gives you, He wants you to take. So, but God comes out again today. So when you receive, when those words come, you receive them, you rejoice. I said that, I explained that on Sunday, you rejoice. You write it down. Now, let's take it a step further. I said, when it's a satanic agenda, you pray, you avert it. The question I'm going to ask is, after you receive that prophetic word in church or in your personal prayer room, you know, whenever prophetic words are coming, there's an atmosphere it carries. It's always an exciting thing. There is joy, there is hope. Maybe they're telling you, you're going to be the king of your village. In that atmosphere, you are just so happy. Yes, Shakara, I receive. The question is, who said God forbid? Okay, maybe not the king, the queen of your village. The question is, when you now get home, because the problem is, I'm telling you why prophetic words don't come to pass. When you now get home, the whole atmosphere that was there when you were receiving that word has lifted. At the time when they were even telling you, you were not thinking straight, you were just shouting, amen, I receive. Is that when you get home, you begin to think about it properly? How can I be the king of my village? Where am I even going to start from? Who knows me? You know those kind of things. Because when I'm telling you, as I'm looking at you, in 3 months' time, you're counting your millions. Glory! Now, at the time, you have 10 naira. But when the word is coming, you're not reasoning it. Now, I'm going to tell you why prophetic words fail. You're not reasoning it. I'll say, yes, yes, millionaire, millionaire. You can even write it on your phone. You now get home, and you're not thinking about it. Because by the time you get home, there's no food at home. Let's start from there. So you now get hungry, and you just begin to wonder. Millionaire don't drink garri. Now, you see, at this point, that's when prophetic words begin to fail. It is most times what you do after that encounter. Because most people believe it when it is coming. Or maybe it's not even somebody that told you, you are praying. Have you ever been praying and there's this knowing that comes into your heart? That atmosphere, nothing can beat it. You just know it. You are so sure. The problem is that after you are done praying, that atmosphere is going to lift. You now begin to think like a normal human being. But at that time, I don't think like a normal human being. You now begin to think for real. So, God is saying, I'll buy a car this year. And at the time, you are owing roughly about 2.8 million. And there's no hope. You are now thinking, what did I hear? Did I hear God? It is at that point, people begin to lose their prophecies. What you do with a prophetic word when you receive it
gives you some percentage. What you do without prophetic word, when you get home or after that experience, is not to determine whether it will eventually come to pass. What you do when the word is coming, what you did, you received it. You accepted it. Just like Mary said, be it unto me according to your word. She took it. But then after that, Mary will now get home. What was the first thing she faced? She begged, is it even possible for me to carry a baby? And then Joseph now came. Say, you mean you are pregnant? Say, yes. It's okay. Say, explain it to me again. He said, an angel came to me. He said, okay. You know, at that time, you begin to wonder, was I seeing right? Was I hallucinating? Am I sure I was not dreaming? How can I hope? You know, those kind of things will begin to happen. So what do you do? That's where I'm going, you know, prophetic words can fail or delay because of how we handle it. And let me show you some scriptures before I get into this explanation. Some examples, I'll go from negative to positive. In Jonah chapter 3, Jonah chapter 3 and verse 4. I personally think that anyone called to be a prophet should do teachings like this for the congregation occasionally. This is because of some of these kind of teachings that breeds doubt in the prophetic. Because if you go to anyone that goes to all these prophetic kind of churches, they can give you up to 50 prophecies they've received that did not work. Go and ask them. So what the devil does is when the next prophecy is coming, he's asking you, are you sure this one will work? Did the other one not fail? I get what I'm saying. So Jonah began to enter into the city of a day's journey. What he began to cry, what was his prophecy? Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. He didn't mince words. And this is what God told him. 40 days. This is why I said, now, this prophecy now, where do you classify it? The consequence of their action. God was not saying, I want to overthrow Nineveh. He was saying, Nineveh, if you continue what you are doing, you will be overthrown. But Jonah didn't understand it. Jonah just went and said, 40 days, everywhere goes scatter. Bet me if I am not Jonah. Then, verse 10, of course, before verse 10, the people began to pray. They proclaimed the fast. We're going to get to that. They proclaimed the fast. They fasted. Everybody, animals, everybody fasted. Then in verse 10, God saw their works and that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them. And he did not do it. You know what happened? Forget that the Bible wrote it this way. 39th day, 40th day came. Nineveh was normal. 41, 42, 43, 58th day. Jonah picked offense. You see the next verse, that's the next chapter. Chapter 4, verse 1. He said, Jonah became angry. To start with, you are trying to make me a false prophet. God did not even take the whatever to go and tell him, or you go and announce that it no longer happened. You know, in Isaiah and Hezekiah's case, God told Isaiah to go and tell Hezekiah it no longer happened. It would have at least retained Jonah's reputation. Do you understand? Nothing about it. He just found out that on the 41st day, these people did not die. 50th day, they are waxing stronger. And so he picked offense. Jonah chapter 4 is his anger. He was very angry. He told the Lord, that's why I didn't want to go. Because I know you will not do it. And many prophets are like Jonah. What Jonah did not realize is that the purpose of this prophecy was for it to fail. Do you know what I say now? The purpose of this prophecy was for it not to happen. The purpose was not for it to be fulfilled. If it had been fulfilled, then Jonah failed. Jonah preached such a powerful message that the whole city of Nineveh began to fast. That should have been enough, but he was not happy. He said, how can I open my mouth and say all of you will die, and all of you are surviving? And many prophets are like that. I was saying it on Sunday, many churches celebrate these things. In January, our general overseer said that there will be a plane crash that will kill 30 people. It happened. Even 35 people died. They say, yeah, God is confirming his word. No. The joy would have been that our pastor said that 35 people will die, and we prayed. And glory to God, today is 31st of December, that plane crash don't eventually happen. That should have been the joy. I know that it happened. Are you following me? But again, I'm trying to show you that in this case, that the response of man changed this prophetic word. They fasted, they prayed, the prophecy did not happen.
If they didn't fast and they didn't pray, it will happen. So what you do with prophetic words after you receive it will determine what will happen after it has come, whether it will happen or not. So it can actually fail. Are you following me? So we look at Jonah. We look at some other examples in the Bible. Jonah is one. Some other examples. We look at Daniel. In Daniel chapter 9 and verse 1. You know, on the Facebook, on our Facebook page, they posted service, you know, updates for service last week, and gave a brief recap. And someone came and commented that the word of God says that when God says a thing, it must happen. Did you guys see it? Did they delete it? Okay. Did you delete it? Leave it too. Don't delete it. Glory to God. It's just something to say that I know he was being sincere. He was saying what he knows. But you know, the matter is, wisdom of God is must learn not to just comment. When they told you they preached in church, they gave a summary of what they preached. You didn't hear all the explanations. You just have your own opinion. So I don't know that the person that commented that is here or is following now. Just learn to listen very well. Because there are actually many examples like that in the Bible. The will of God is not automatic. That has to be explained to everybody. God's will is his will. That's why man is a being of choice. Yes, we have our choice. Because we have our choice, because we can make our decision, we can make our choice, it means God's will is automatic. If God's will is automatic, then we are robots. You know what I'm saying? We are robots. That once he programs, bam, bam, bam. You know what? If God is automatic, it means people can blame God for anything. I mean, you don't even know how far we can go with this. Somebody can write exam and fail and say, that's how God wanted it. That may not be too bad until the person steals money and say, that's how God wanted it. We can drag it to anywhere. You can say, that's how God wants it. That's not always God how God wants it. Do you get the point? You can't fail in life and say, not everybody is going to be rich. Truth is, not everybody is going to be rich. But God did not choose some people to be rich and some to be poor. It's within the boundary of your choice. So that when you become poor tomorrow, you say, but the Bible said that the poor will never be lacking in your midst. It didn't say you are the poor. But this is not said in the Bible. I hope you know. Jesus, our Lord, said it. That the poor will never be lacking in our midst. And that's the truth about this church too. Choose not to be the poor. It's true. Everywhere there's a big congregation, there is the rich, there's the middle class, there is the poor. Choose where you want to be. Because prophecy, like I said also, does not carry name. You know what I'm saying? There are only few prophetic words that come with name. Not every prophetic word comes with name. And in fact, even those ones that come with name, people still key into it. And it happens to them. I get the point. So you can key into poverty. Jesus has said, but the Bible said the poor will always be your miss. Yes. And Jesus did not say that because he wanted people to be poor. He said that to the people that were complaining because a woman broke an alabaster box before him or to use on his feet. And people were complaining. And he told them, the poor you always have with you. But I'm not here. People have jumped on that verse to say that I will always be poor people in church. And if it is true, why should it be you? Well, Daniel chapter 9. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord to seek by prayer. So what did he find out? He found, because they were in captivity in Babylon. And he found out in his prayer that, he was studying books. I will still show you where he was studying. He was studying the book of Jeremiah. I will still open it very shortly. He found out in his study that this captivity they were into was supposed to last for only 70 years. But at this time, they had overstayed 70. So he began to pray. I get to the point. He began to pray. And what did he find? He read books like
Jeremiah chapter 25 and verse 11. Jeremiah 25, he said, I understood by the books. Verse 11, say, this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Verse 12, he says, and it shall come pass when 70 years are accomplished, and I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, said the Lord, for their iniquity. He said, that Babylon will fall after 70 years. Do you get the point? But it was time already. It was time. You don't understand. This was the reign of Darius. You don't know what that means. You don't know what that means. That means Nebuchadnezzar has finished his tenure. And has gone. Belshazzar has finished his tenure. Because Daniel saw the reign of three kings actually. You get the point? And it was not Darius that was in charge. They had stayed and stayed. So Daniel was even an old man at the point. And he was not opening his Bible and he saw that this shouldn't be so. You see what problem I'm talking about? In Jeremiah 29 also and verse 10. Well, Jeremiah didn't say this once. He said it two times. He said, for thus said the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. Say they will return, he will return them there. In fact, that was the background of, I know the thoughts I have towards you. That's the next verse, verse 11. For I know the thoughts I think towards you, thoughts of good and not of evil. You get the point? So he promised them he will return them. Now here we are, there we are. After 70 years, they were still in captivity. Daniel went to pray. I get what I'm saying. Prophetic words can fail if you don't act on them after you receive them. Are you still here? So that it's not by 31st December, you have the amount of people posting by December. It says, remaining 15 days for my pastor to explain to me how this is my big year. But then this is your big year actually. But there's people that are going to complain. I thought he said I'm big. This is my smallest year. But this is my big year. I believe in all my heart. Because God has never lied to me. He's never lied to me. It's about how you respond to prophetic words. You notice, you know, if you read a place, if you read places like Matthew 18, verse 18, Jesus told them, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you lose on earth. So I always say it this way. It is not heaven actually that controls earth in a context. Please, what I'm going to say. It's actually earth that controls heaven. It is what you say on earth, what you bind on earth, that shall be bound in heaven. However, now hear what I'm going to say. However, it makes all the sense. Well, there's another translation that did justice to this that I'm going to say now. It makes all the sense that what you want to bind on earth should be what's already bound in heaven. Do you get what I'm saying? Look at it this way. The right thing, well, I just said that when you decide the thing on earth, it will happen in heaven. That's what God is saying here. Whenever you lose anything on earth, it will happen in heaven. But it will make all the sense that you find out what everyone has decided. And now you now enforce it on earth here. So give me places like Amplify Classic. Read it to me. Truly I tell you, whatever you forbid and declare to be improper and unlawful on earth must be what is already forbidden in heaven. I get the wisdom of God over this. Your words, that's why we say, find the will of God, enforce it on earth. Finding the will of God is finding what's already forbidden in heaven or agreed in heaven. Then you enforce it on earth. Do you get what I'm talking about here? Uh-huh. So, in prayer, we find God's will. When we find it by prophecy, we now enforce it. Are you still here? I don't know why I want to say this again. That's why I said that there is a difference. I'm coming to that today, but let me just say it now. There's a difference between positive confession and words of faith. They are not the same thing. If you are doing, positive confession is saying anything you like. I am rich. I am big. I'm beautiful. And it's not bad. There's something it does to your esteem. Do you understand? It helps you. People even do yoga. They cross their leg and are saying, ugh. Let me even say something about this yoga thing. Glory to God though. When we teach meditation, it's not yoga. Christian meditation, Bible meditation is not yoga. You know what they try to, they say, just free your mind. That's not what the Bible says. Don't free your mind. Fill it with the word of God.
If you free your mind, the devil is the god of ungoverned spaces. He will come in. Once you just free your mind, let it out. It's not true. I personally see it as deception. Because you cannot actually free your mind. He said, take a deep breath. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says that you fill your heart with the word of God. Thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Don't free your heart. You think on the word. If anything is true, if anything is lovely, if anything is all of this, he said, think on these things. Don't free your mind. Stop trying to free your mind. Do you understand what I'm saying? Fill it with God's word. Same thing with confession. He said, confess what? Well, but I'm speaking right. I'm going to be rich. I'm going to buy a car. These things are okay that you are saying them. But it will make all the sense that the things you are saying, this is where faith confession comes in, are the things God has told you. Imagine you are praying and God tells you, this year I'm going to give you a car. Ah, best it everywhere in your room. And begin to say it. You're not doing positive confession. You are speaking what must be. Because look at this verse. Go back to that Matthew 18 verse 18 with Amplified Classic. What you are saying are the things that have already been permitted in heaven. You are not permitting them on earth. He said, whatever you forbid and declare to be improper and unlawful on earth must be what is already forbidden in heaven. Whatever you permit and declare proper and lawful on earth must be what is already permitted in heaven. So find out what heaven has permitted. Declare it on earth. I get what I'm saying? Declare it on earth. You go to the word of God and find out that God has declared health for you. He has permitted health for you. Enforce it on earth. That's what confession is. It's not saying anything you like. So I'm going to buy a car. I'm going to be this. I'm going to marry a rich man. I'm going to fly to Paris. And we're going to get to Paris. We're going to live there. And we're going to tour in the world. What if God doesn't want to tour the world? Yeah, for real. Because we need to understand what meditation, what confession is. What if God doesn't want you to tour the world? Well, I made this, we say that I'm not right. I don't know why God is leading me in this direction. Find out what God wants before you start talking. If not, they're just making noise. Because in the things of the kingdom, it's not about claiming what you like. It's actually about claiming what God wants for you. Have you not heard people say things like, go where you are celebrated, not where you are tolerated? I don't agree with that. Go where God said you should go. Whether you are tolerated or celebrated, go there. Say amen. I don't agree with that too. Say, go where you are celebrated, not where you are tolerated. There are places God will ask you to go, and you will not be celebrated there. Jesus got to some cities, they sent him out, they picked up stones to stone him. He wasn't celebrated, but God said you should be there. Read your Bible. The apostles were sent to places they were persecuted. All of these crazy things is why people leave churches. Say, I cannot stay here. I go where I'm celebrated because I've been in this church and for the past 6 months, people have not given me a mic to sing or to preach. I go where I'm celebrated. I know where I'm tolerated. Stay where God says you should stay. I get the point. Stay where. It's not about tolerance. When God is making his decision for you, he's not considering your emotions. Stay where he said you should stay. Now, I'm not talking about relationship now. So that you'll not be dating someone and they're beating you. Say, if you're not beating me in this relationship, God said I should stay here. It's not me that taught you that one. You understand what I'm saying, ba? I'm to overdo this thing. Say, they slapped me, but I heard God. Unhear God. And leave that place. Unhear God. That's not what I'm talking about at all. What I'm talking about in the context of life and ministry, stay where you are celebrated and tolerated. Just once God said you should be there. Whether you are celebrated, whether you are tolerated, be there. Do you understand the point? So in the context of speaking God's word too, it's not bad to say positive things about yourself. I do that too. But I tell you what will work is to find what God's word is and begin to voice it. You know the secret to that? You are not trying to cause God to put his blessing on anything. You are engaging what he has already blessed. Don't make your plans and invite God to bless it. Find out God's plan because his plan is already blessed. Yes, I get what I'm saying. Don't try to make your plan and say, Father, come and bless my plan. Find out his plan. His plan is already blessed. Begin to engage his plan. It's already blessed. is already blessed. Find out who God wants you to marry, for instance, and get in there. You are not begging for the blessing. That marriage is blessed already because it is his plan. It's his plan. Or like you go and bring Adigboroja from somewhere and begin to tell God, Father, bless this one. You're going to be in trouble. I get what I'm saying. Amen. No, I've not started teaching about today. I'm just trying to say. Say amen. Amen. But are you learning something now? Yes. And so God's plan can, God's will is what he wants. Your response is what will happen. It is not God's will that will automatically happen. It is how you respond to God's will that will happen. Because you don't realize the same way God has a plan for you, even Satan has a plan for you. And how you respond to Satan's plan will tell whether it will happen or not. I get the point. So find out what God wants and begin to engage it. So what do you do? I'll just show you some of those things. After you receive prophetic word and all of that, work hard to keep your heart right. Keep your heart, I won't say much about that. Keep your heart right. Do not let doubt and unbelief stay in faith. Stay in faith. Don't give room for doubts because those thoughts are going to come into your heart. But throw it off. Unbelief can disconnect you from what God wants for you. Now, listen to what I'm going to say. Occasional doubts can enter your heart. Sincerely, there are times that you just be in your room and be like, am I even sure this is going to happen? There are such, there's room for, that can happen. I already gave an example with Abraham. Abraham had those seasons where he doubted. Are you getting the point? He had those seasons where he doubted. Where he even went to sleep with Hagar because he couldn't wait. So there are those. But then to live perpetually in unbelief. So the point I begin to say is, I forget. I beg God, this one God is saying. Once you get there, don't worry. It will not happen. What stopped Israel from entering Canaan? Not all Israelites, but some. And can I add, what delayed them in the wilderness? Unbelief. As I told you that, how you respond to God's word will tell you whether it will happen and how fast it will happen. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 18. Hebrews 3 and verse 18. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not. Talking about the Israelites. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Unbelief will keep you out of every of God's promise. One of the things you must do when you receive a prophetic word and is to keep your heart in faith. Keep your heart in faith. They could not enter because of unbelief. So God can promise, but a man begins to doubt. He goes from doubt to unbelief. Doubt is not really, well, doubt. When you are still in doubt, that is still, you can be in doubt and out of doubt, in fact. But when you get into full blown unbelief, when you don't actually agree, all these things God is saying, I beg, leave that one. I'll be a billionaire. It's not somebody that's eating that will be billionaire. Once you get into that place, you will never be. And that will not be God. How do you explain that of all of them that came out from Egypt, only Joshua and Caleb entered? Yes. Of all of them that came from Egypt. He said, one of the rest of the people that entered, those people were now older, were now younger children then. Do you know, they stayed, guess not what I'm saying. By the time they went to survey the land, spy the land, I'm trying to show what unbelief can do. They spied the land and came back. And they brought an evil report, 10 of them. Said, that land will swallow us. The whole nation of Israel accepted. Except Joshua and Caleb. Now, look at what happened. Those guys that brought out the evil report and all that believed the evil report, all of them died in the wilderness. God had to keep them there and waited till the children there grew up. Like what I'm saying. Joshua, Caleb told Joshua, when we went to spy the land, I was 40. Now I am 80. Like what I'm saying. They stayed extra years in the wilderness because the younger generation had to grow up to be able to enter that place. Because of unbelief. Unbelief can delay God's plan for your life. Unbelief can delay God's agenda, what he has planned for you. Caleb said, I'm now 80. He was 40 when they went to spy the land. So they stayed 40 years in the wilderness. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Was it God's plan that they would stay 40 years in the wilderness? No. But the younger generation had to grow because God told them, everybody. He said the only people that will survive, that will enter that land, is Joshua, Caleb, and the younger children among you. Because those young children, that's why I told you that it's age of accountability. I was teaching that when I was teaching about, talking about salvation. Those ones, God could not hold them responsible for any choice that they made. He said, fine. So all people had to die and they had to wait for the children to grow up. What kept them there? They could not enter because of unbelief. And so you see why people rejoice and shout in church. Now the thing delays 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Hunger is dealing with him. He begins to doubt it. From doubt, he gets into full-blown unbelief. He doesn't even, I don't agree with all of these things. Is it today we started hearing these things? And notice what God will do. What did God do for Abraham? God told Abraham in Genesis 12 that he will give him a child. Back to back, God kept coming back to reaffirm that promise. Because he had to keep believing it. Chapter 15, he came and reassured him. Chapter 17, he came and reassured him. He kept coming back. Because Abraham, you have to keep believing that this can happen. Because once you stop believing that this can happen, it will not happen for you. And that will not be God's doing. That will be your own doing. Is someone following me this evening? And so unbelief can stop you and stop whatever God has said concerning you. So you see concerning Abraham in Romans chapter 4 and verse 18, Bible tells us, how did Abraham wait before Isaac was born? What was the secret to receiving Isaac? Bible said, who against hope believed in hope. NLT said, when there was no reason to believe, Abraham kept hoping. There was no reason to hope, but he kept believing. I get to the point. He believed hope against hope. Okay, that he might become a father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Verse 19, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body down dead when he was about 100 years old. Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. He was strong in faith, giving. So he didn't, if he had got, of course, when you read this scripture, I don't understand Bible terms and all of that. You would think the Bible was trying to lie. Because Abraham doubted, he even slept with Hagar. He had doubts, but he didn't sleep into full-blown unbelief. I'm just trying to help someone here. The fact that once in a while, doubtful thoughts come to your heart, that's not a problem. It can come. Because you're human. Sometimes when you're drinking Gary, I remember the prophecy. You always drink, say, child. But what do you do? Once you get yourself, practice this verse. Strong in faith, giving glory to God. Get up and say, Father, thank you, Father. Because I know that you are still working out something for me. I know that your word will still not fail. I know that I'm still part of the millionaires under 30 that you spoke about. You are speaking yourself. Even as with one spoon in your mouth, you are still speaking. Strong in faith. Because if you allow unbelief come, it will take you out of everything. That's why immersion I taught you on by faith. Is that teaching? That's actually how to get everything done with God. Yes. Because when he promises you, it could take time. There are many reasons why those words could delay. There are many reasons. Sometimes it's your own doing. Sometimes, like I already said, it's just timing. So prophetic words carry timing. And no matter what you do, it cannot happen faster than that. I'm just trying to tell you the truth. There are some of you talking about ministry. I believe some pastors will start working very hard to blow in ministry. There's some kind of influence that will never come, no matter what you do, until a certain time comes. Yes. Except you now want to manipulate and do your own thing. I get the point. So sometimes just serve the Lord faithfully and do your thing. Now, when there is that delay, maybe, you know why it's hard for some of those pastors? When they were starting, because God is a God of big pictures. Big pictures. When you're starting off in ministry, he's showing you big places, big things. And now you do ministry 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 7 years, 8 years, 10 years. Is it God that showed me? You now begin with that. My pastor told us, actually, was talking to us as set men.
He said, he said it to everybody, to us, before everybody. Say it to you too. He said that his advice is that nobody should expect anything from his ministry in the first 6 to 7 years of his calling. So don't expect anything big. Just make plans and serve the Lord. Now, that's not the cancer some people like. Because what we want to celebrate is, we are just 2 years in this ministry and see what the Lord has done. What has the Lord done? What has the Lord done? For real, what has the Lord done? Say, we started with 3 people. In 2 years, we are 5,000. Now, there are 2 possibilities to this thing you said. Either you are not telling the full truth, or you've built a work that is not solid. He says, I can't have a fast growth. Please hear what I'm going to say. I don't know why God's leading me in this direction, but let me just do it. Now, the first thing that makes a solid ministry is leadership. People you have raised. So, how have you been able to raise solid leaders that can handle 5,000 people in 2 years? What is the curriculum you use to raise them? So, that's why I said, either you build a weak work, or in reality, that means it's actually 2 years. Just like me now, let me use myself as an example. I've been running Champions League Foundation for a very long time. I mean, before church came, CF was already gone very far. I've been raising people. Imagine, I didn't do that, I'm just saying, imagine I turned CYF into church. In the 8th year of CYF. That's what I'm talking about. And I will now tell people, we are just 1 year. And we are 1,000. That's not an entire truth. I get what I'm talking about. It's not full truth. Because the full truth is, there's been work going on behind the scene. And I'm saying this for some pastors that may listen to this, to learn to be patient. When people talk like that, because people don't actually say all this, they'll tell all the stories. Like, if we tell the story of this church now, people believe in the reality of the church. This church started in Enugu here. We started PG as a city church 2019. You get the point? Tracy said, it's after just 5-6 years. See what the Lord has done. But there's a backside to this story. Work has been going on at Abwani, some other places. I get what I'm saying? Building stuffs. I'm saying it so that you know that some things will take time. And when it's taking time, you patiently stay in faith, believing that what God has told you will eventually happen. Now this is about ministry. I know that some of you give up. God, as you've prayed, God showed you this year going to win 100 souls. By October, you check your record. You've not even won yourself. You don't even understand what you are doing throughout the year. Right? Now, you now begin to doubt. Say, hey, is even God supposed to win? Don't stagger. Unbelief will take you away. It's not the time going that is taking you away. It is unbelief. Possibly that unbelief is why that time is going. Just like the case of Israel. They were staying longer in the wilderness. I do not think, and I know, that when they were leaving Egypt, God didn't plan that they would stay in the wilderness for 40 years. That wasn't God's plan. You get the point? In fact, someone showed me a map and they showed that there was a route that could take them from Egypt to Israel to Canaan in 40 days. In 40 days. I get the point. But then again, I'm talking about process and patience. If they had entered Egypt in 40 days, or entered Canaan in 40 days, they would have left the Lord. They would have gone back to Egypt one of those days. I'm just trying to tell the truth. Because by the time they're entering Canaan, bear it in mind that there were people occupying Canaan at that time. They didn't have the military strength to fight them or the faith in God to believe that they can win. So just to see all these people. Okay, let's go back to where we're coming from. So I think it was okay they stayed that long to learn to trust God. Do you also observe that when they entered Canaan, God told them not to drive everybody out? Do you know this? God told not to drive the whole, they should leave some people to be there. The reason is because they were too small to occupy the entire land. Like if they drive everybody out, not as though God's power couldn't do it, if they drive everybody out, why the animals will occupy the other place they are not occupying? And you will chop them. Are you guys good what I'm saying now?
No, I'm just trying to say, when is delaying? Stay in faith. Stay in faith. There could be many things why you can delay. Stay in faith. Stay in faith. So Israel staying longer in the wilderness was a combination of many things. One, their own unbelief and all of that. But then there's also the wisdom of God in that particular journey. And he was providing for them, giving them manna, making sure their footwear did not, you know, wear out. Just took care of them comfortably. But they had to be there. Man, that's not the time to begin to doubt and begin to complain. Say, pastor said that I'm the next big thing about to happen. Hallelujah. You know, and all of that. And I was praying. I thought that sometimes, do you sometimes bring your word notes and start laughing at yourself? The things you used to write there. If you have that experience, now hear what I'm going to say. You're going to take this teaching very seriously. I said something last week. Do not have a record of many failed prophecies in your life. Remember I told you that? If you do, Satan will always bank on those, in quote, failed prophecies to make you not to believe for better things tomorrow. But every time God tells you, I'm going to make you this next week, Satan will tell you, did you not write the other one last 2 years? Has it happened? So this year, you're going to contend for prophetic words to ensure that they come to pass. Seeing that I've shown you that it is actually in your heart, not in God's hand. I get what I'm saying? Yes. Contend for it. Fight 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 for it. And there is a way. I'm already showing you one. Stay in faith. Don't let unbelief get in the way. Stay in faith. That's when you read your Bible. That's when, you know, I keep saying this all the time. 2016 or 2017, this division for this ministry would have died a natural death. Forever. Because at the time, nothing was working. Not my life, not the church. You know, so my life wasn't working. The church wasn't working. None of us was working. I couldn't support the church. The church couldn't support me. So we're all in trouble. And it was really bad. I mean, it was really bad. So I remember coming to church that day. You know, some people, if I give further details, some people will remember the day I'm talking about. I came to church, I preached though. Preached very powerfully. That day, my sister came to church too. It was an Abuani. Came with my sister-in-law. And when they finished, they came with their car. When they finished, I got in their car and were going. What they didn't know that as I was leaving that place, I was waving the place goodbye in my heart. If I come back here again, call me bastard. Because I knew that I was done. So we were just driving up. I was just moving. I've been feeling that way all along. So I had told my people, I'm not coming back. So I just knew what to do. I left that place. Because I'm saying doubt can come. But I began to doubt everything. Which one God telling me this and that. He's going to make us great. Make us this. Make us great. The roof we constructed has fallen. Making us great. We are currently worshiping inside bush. You are making us great. Vietnam, bush is not figure of speech. Real bush. How many of you came there? Raise your hand. Bush. I will come there every morning. I used to come very early. Clear where you can clear. Bring out the seed. And it was really bad. We used to hide our seeds behind one tree. In the thicker bush. Chain it to a tree. I'm not joking. Seeds, pulpits, everything. Hide. Chain it there. They'll come and stay. And God is faithful. And you know, imagine we are praying for God to give us instruments. Where would you have kept it? Inside that, we just keep it. Some of these boys will rejoice. Just come and say, oh, glory to God. I can't do it and I can't sell. You know, so that day I was living. But I knew what to do. But I'm saying you have to fight to keep yourself in faith. So I just left. Removed my SIM card. From Sunday that they dropped me, nobody reached me again. I was in the retreat center till Thursday. That time we used to go service on Tuesday. That week there was no Tuesday service. Yes. Because the man of God asked me. The man of God has to be alive to go service. I was there Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And I was battling it out. The Bible says, Jacob wrestled with God. That's a wrestling. Yes. And that in his prayer, I've shown his prayer, he prayed. It's not physical combat. That's a wrestling. We're praying it, doing it by Thursday morning. I didn't hear nothing new. But I knew we were ready to go again. You get the point? That's how church now continued. If not, there would have been no church. That's how church now continued. By Thursday, I came out, slimmed down a little, but it was fine. Because I was on fast like that. Because sometimes it's better to die sometimes. That's when people come and say, let's do, okay, talking about fasting. We've been fasting, right? We have ended now. Are you happy now? How long have you been fasting till now? Sincerely. Okay, we have ended today. So when people talk about fasting, and they're like, why do you fast? That was what saved me. And you know that fast, that's fast, that's fast. At that time, I wasn't thinking about food. It was a whole lot. I prayed, I cried, I listened to the message, I danced, I slept, I woke up. And sometimes, because sleeping, yes, but sometimes even physical tiredness and emotional weakness can impact. Do you know what I'm saying? Learn to rest, actually, in ministry. There is physical rest, there is spiritual rest. Story for another day. Spiritual rest talks about your prayer life and all of that. That's why when people come to me and they are exhausted, I always tell them, go and rest. That rest may be, take time off and go and pray. Fast. That is taking rest. Sometimes we are just busy giving out, and we are so exhausted. Go and rest. Another thing you could do is to take physical rest. I get what I'm saying? And that's why it's recommended, we don't do it here, we will start. It's recommended that pastors should take vacations at least 2 times in a year. So that they can be taken straight. Because sometimes as a pastor, sometimes you are waking up early in the morning, calls are coming in. You wake up to text messages. This, you know, and that's how your life is. Round the clock. So I needed that rest. So I will sleep, I'll wake up, I'll pray, I'll cry, I'll complain. Because in reality, that is complaining. You get the point? Some of you say, I'm overwhelmed, I'm depressed. And what do you want to do? You want to go to the club? You want to go and drink? You don't know what to do. You're going to postpone your problem. There is a good place to go. I am telling you. It's not just because of my pastor. I'm telling you, I would have died that period. Both me and the call of God upon my life would have died that weekend. That's a good place to go. You want to go and drink. You want to go to club. You want to hang out with friends. You think you can eat meat and forget your sorrows. You can't eat away your sorrows. It doesn't work. Because it is ever before you. It's telling us every time you come back, it is there. So, there's a place to fight for your faith life. There's a place of fighting for your faith life. Carry messages. Carry some books. I'm not talking about lying down to listen. Sit down. Get a deck. Sit down. We repent. You are now in church. Let them teach you. You are writing. You stand. When you are done, you stand up. You pray. You pray for like 2 hours, 3 hours. You sit down again. Part two. You begin. I finished in those 4 days. There are some said I came with how many series I listened to. I can tell in those 4 days, nothing less than 50 messages. And I'm not missing words. Morning, afternoon, night, I've finished this series. I did many conferences within those 4 days. And it's been me. That's a place of fighting for your faith life. Fighting for your faith. Because at that time, because there will be times where doubt will come at whatever God has told you. And it's actually driving towards unbelief. Until you get to a time that whenever you hear thoughts says, Lord, you say, yeah, not them. Not them. Thoughts says what? The last one they told me, has it happened? Fight for it. Contend for it. Get teachings. Get books. Feed on it. Because, you know, the reason I'm saying you cut down distraction, I don't know, and God is bringing this strongly to my heart. Because the reason why there is now so much doubt and unbelief in your head is because there is contrary information in your head. Faith and unbelief is a product of information. I get the point. There is too much going on in your head at a time. You've heard from your friends. You've heard from your lack. You've heard from your bank account. You've heard from your pocket. Everybody has spoken to you. There is so much info in your head that shouldn't be at that point. That's why James 1 verse 21 said that we should put away all naughtiness and superfluity. It's superfluity of naughtiness. Give me that verse. Let me read that. Exactly how it came. James 1 verse 21. Glory to God. Laying apart all filthiness, yes, and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive its meekness, the engrafted word. So that's something you need to put away to receive. So when your faith life is struggling, there are things that you need to shut down to not receive the engrafted word. I know what I'm talking about. So fight for your faith life. When it's going down, go and contend for it. You like be there complaining, say, I'm just depressed, though. My life will just end. It will end. It will end. There are prophets, there are men of God that could not fight with what God told them. They couldn't fight with it. They couldn't fight. Every year, they couldn't fight. You have to fight with what God told you. Fight with it. Get shut down. Keep yourself in faith. Keep yourself in faith. Never stagger God's promise from belief. Never do that. Never stagger. I'm not saying there will not be doubt. Don't let doubt stay. No, doubt will come. Oh, I'm telling you. Because sometimes doubt will come. Sometimes you open your bank account and something is laughing at you from your phone. Just open it. Minus. I heard accounts can be minus. I never knew. And I will never know. Accounts in minus. What did you start doing? Do you borrow? You borrow from your bank. Oh, hallelujah. This is where meditation plays a big role. Meditation. Put the word in your heart. Don't let your heart just stay empty like that. Put the word in your heart. But stay in faith. That's what I'm saying. Keep yourself in faith. Keep yourself in faith. Bring down wrong thoughts. Stay on the word. Stay on prayers. That's why you have to be in church all the time. Because have you observed that there are weeks that by the end of the week, you just know that you are going to be a failure in life. And then, you come into church on Sunday morning, and sometimes, they didn't say anything about success, but after service, at least you are leaving, you know that, okay, at least there is still hope for me. For it, because there are times you just wake up, you just know you are going to fail. And nobody, you even are preaching it to yourself. You know, it has happened to me a couple of times. There was one night I woke up, I was dealing with my mind and I overslept. I was meant to wake up by social time to pray. I didn't wake up. I woke up later and I just got up and said, this is wrong. This is wrong. But I was literally slapping myself. Say, is this how Pastor Chris Oyakilome continued? I got to get real story. Now this is not good. Don't do it. Say, this is how Bishop Oyedepo was oversleeping every night. I got where he was. I felt so terrible. And I was so sure I was going to fail in life. Sleep, oh. Sleep. There's not a bad thing. But sleep can be bad. And God will help you not to sleep too much. But some of you really need that prayer. That's the problem. You really need the prayer. Bible said, how do you even put it? A little sleep. He didn't say poverty, he said your poverty. So everybody that has poverty, a little sleep invites it. But the right rendering of that verse actually is a little more sleep, a little more slumber. That is a little extra sleep than is necessary. So that you're not going to die and say the Bible said a little sleep, a little slumber. Don't sleep now. But that was me then. So there are times you just wake up, you know you're going to fail. But then you walk into church, and they just finish preaching, okay. There is still hope for a tree. And sometimes those words can come even when the choir is singing. Sometimes nobody sang, nobody prayed, nobody preached. You just saw people. I know what I'm saying. You just saw people and saw how happy they were looking and how everybody's excited. You say, yes, we can make it. I'm telling you for real. I don't fight for your faith life. I get what I'm saying. Once your faith life is down, if the devil can convince you that you won't get there, you won't. I'll say it again. If he can convince you that you will not get there, you will not. Because basic thing is, as a man thinks he is at, so he is. So this year is a year to contend for faith life. You don't know what to do. At intervals within the year, intervals, without my regimen or not, put yourself on a faith routine, on a faith diet. So how do I do that? Gather books on faith, teachings on faith. Within 1 month, stay on them.
stir up your faith so that you can believe everything God has said. Get school of faith. 1 and 2. Get that teaching by faith. Get faith, foolishness on presumption. That lot of teachers have on faith. Get our faith, God. Eat them. Get books. Hallelujah. We're going to release a book on faith this year. Actually, yes. Get it and eat it. And other authors have shown you. Look for Charles Capps. Get Charles Capps' books on faith. Charles Capps is one of the big best teachers on faith I've ever seen. Charles Capps, Frederick Casey Price, Kenneth E. Hagin. Eat these things. Fight for your faith life. Oh. Fight. Oh. I get what I'm saying. Because once you begin to get into that unbelief zone, forget it. So they couldn't enter him because of unbelief. Second thing I'm going to say, as you, when you see prophetic words, is that you follow instructions as they come. Pay attention to instructions that come with prophetic words. I just had to add that. Pay attention. As you are fighting for your faith, if there are things that God says you should be doing within that period when you are waiting, be doing them. Be doing them. If you say you should just be dancing, be dancing. If you say just be serious, go to church, go to church. Do not, in an attempt to wait for a certain God's promise to come to pass, slack back on whatever that you are doing. Keep your life going. Follow instructions. For instance, there are basic instructions in God's word. Go to church. Pray every day. Read your Bible. Preach to the lost. Follow the instructions in God's word and pay attention to specific instructions that could come. If God said what you do at this period, just dance. You dance. I've told you how God told my pastor to go wash car. To go wash car. He was trusting God for a car. God has promised him the car. And God told him one of those days, he said, buy car wash detergent. He bought it. He didn't use that thing for over 1 year or 2 years. It was just in his house. Yeah. He didn't know why, but God said, buy it. He bought it and kept it. I get the point. But he was still releasing his faith, trusting God. Until one day, one of his friends, he said that his friend, and this is very important to some of you, he said that his friend, they all grew up together in school, all doing, but the guy began to break into the prosperity thing before all of them. And I've told you, when such things happen in your circle, it's not beef. It's not jealousy that you need. Celebrate the grace upon the person. Not all of us will move at the same time. I get what I'm saying. So he said, one day the guy visited him, and the Lord told him, today is the day. That's why I told you to buy that car wash detergent. He said, go and bring it and wash his car. And he said he knows his friend will never allow him. Which one? Why are you washing my car? Are you mad? So when the guy went inside to do something, he locked the door. Locked the door and came outside and began to wash the car. He was like, ah, guy, what's up now? He said, don't worry. He said, stop. I said, don't worry. He washed the car. He said, I was trying to wash him. He said, God just said I should do it. He washed the car. 1 week after that, his own car came. Do you understand the point? Yes. 1 week after that. It was a Friday. It was a car gift. Now, there are things that could happen. Now, it may not happen that far, but look at from when God said, buy car wash. There could be crazy instructions that God will just give you. Sometimes it doesn't make any sense. When you receive them, just do them. I've trusted God for big things, and as I'm waiting, the Lord said, just go and give. And sometimes you give quickly, things turn around. Sometimes you give, things don't turn around. At least immediately. But you've obeyed an instruction that came. The secret is that you obeyed the instruction. That's why when you are trusting the Lord for anything, faith can also, you know, people teach corresponding action with faith. Yes, I thought I would have gotten to that during the mashup, but I didn't, but it's fine. That is corresponding action in faith. But please, corresponding action is not just anything. You see, because I'm trusting God for a car, I'll go and buy a car tire. Do you understand? And keep in my house. Next week, I'll buy steering. then, what else? No, that's not what it is. But it can be. Have I not heard people that trusted God for a husband? And went and bought wedding gown. Ladies, I kept in the house and he walked out. The secret is this. It is based on instruction. It's based on instruction. Now, when you are in faith, that's why we are talking about faith is not foolishness. Foolishness is not where you copy. Say, they bought wedding gown, I'm going to go and buy. But when God gives you an instruction, obey it. I've seen such things. Buy wedding gown, keep in your house. And at that time, what you're obeying is don't show it to many people.
Except people that can understand you at the same frequency. Before you show them and they begin to laugh. Don't laugh the hell out of you. He said, what you should be using to eat? And they even tell you, let's face reality, how many people buy wedding gown for their wedding? They rent, they don't buy. Why did you buy this rubbish? Now, it's not copying. It's instruction. Because you now tell somebody, you will sell wedding gown. You let us start, you're about to become a bit. Maybe God is trying to tell you to open a bridal shop. Because that's where you're going to. It's not about buying, buy a guy, buy shoe, buy ring, but don't worry. You are opening shop. That's not how it works. But there can be instructions. There can be instructions. Where God just tells you to do some kind of crazy stuff. Sometimes it's not even crazy. You get the point? Last year, last 2 years, it can even be a correction in God's word. God corrected me. He said, you've been doing well in your giving and all of that. He said, but the church have not been following up. So what we did, I'm just saying it openly now, what we did was from last year, last 2 years, we started sending a percentage of our money here every month. All your partnership, there's a percentage of that we sow as a seed. The financial team can tell you. Every month. That was an instruction, a correction God gave me. Because I trust him for much more abundance and all of that. And I tell you what, that has made us better. We've gotten richer. We've gotten better. It's an instruction God gave. It's something found in God's word. But he brought it to my heart as correction. So you've not been doing well with this. So every time, even Zoe, when we first, in the, we are done giving for Zoe, as they were giving for Zoe, every money that comes in, as a percentage we separate, that will sow as a seed. Even for this land project now, we're going to do it. Are you getting the point? There are instructions that come. Now, keep your doctrine to yourself. I'm just telling you a story. You don't need to have an opinion about everything. Don't you think so? That's of things you don't say anything. I know the Bible verse you want to quote. I just, this one, you know, at the end of the day, is what you want to do that you will do, right? This one, I want to do this one. Say amen. Amen. And I'm saying it for somebody, there's some instruction that God can give you that people can try to explain away. But you know what you heard. Obey what you heard. The only difference is that when those instructions are not general doctrinal instructions, you can't impose it on other people. There are certain instructions I have personally. For instance, if God said you are trusting God for whatever, God says you can't buy a shoe. Maybe someone is crippled. Trusting God, I walk one day. God says, go and buy a shoe. Now, you cannot now say that anytime you want to walk, buy a shoe. You can't impose it on people, but it's an instruction for you. But I've heard a story like that. A man, a guy bought you a cripple. God said, buy a shoe. Real life story. Entered to buy the shoe. And before then, God already told another man of God to go to that supermarket and go and wait. When he got there, the other guy was there trying to buy a shoe. And the person said, why are you buying for? He said, it's for me. He said, how will you wear it? As they were just having that conversation, the man of God said, the God said, that's why I sent you here. Put hands on him. He said, let's God well. He wore the shoe. Now, that is instruction. I get the point. It's not about saying, you know, anytime you want to walk, you can buy a shoe. As you're buying a shoe, look for man of God that will come. You buy many shoes. You buy many shoes. It's what I'm talking about. So listen to those instructions that will come. I've seen people that trust God for the fruit of the womb and all of that. And then instruction that will come is go and buy baby stuffs. But it's not always that. Yes, Sister Vicky them testify at Zoe. When I trusted God for a baby, it was here they were kneeling. I just came to them, just that spot. And they knelt before me. And I put my head into their both ears. And I said, just serve the Lord. Preach the gospel. Forget about this baby thing. Your baby is already here. That was instruction. Just serve the Lord. Preach the gospel. That was the month they took him. That month. Now, I didn't say go buy anything. So, watch out for the instructions that will come. I get the point. Now, I cannot now make a general law that anytime you want baby, go and preach. You preach tired. Well, if that's the case, that means many of you should have many children by now. Every time I go for evangelism, one child. Oh, hallelujah. So you listen to the instructions that will follow. And maybe I'll just wind it up. Have you been blessed? Don't get impatient with God. I just said that from the Holy Ghost. Don't get impatient with God.
as you are contending for prophetic words, don't get impatient with God. Don't. Learn the discipline of patience. Right? Hebrews 6 verse 12 said, "You should be followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." Through faith. So you want to inherit any promise? Through faith and patience. Higher. Faith. That's why I say stay in faith. Now I'm saying be patient. That's the key. Faith and patience will give you anything you're looking for. What's yours? And you are in faith and you are patient. Prophetic words will not fail. So as you're keeping yourself in faith, what are you doing? You're watering that seed. You remember I started that way the first day. The word of God is a seed. You're watering that seed. As you are studying God's word, you are keeping yourself in faith. Then you are patient. It's only a foolish farmer that puts maize in the ground and goes back every day to uproot the maize to check if it is doing well. Say, is it doing well? He put it back. That's what many of us do with our prophetic words. God has given you the word. Every time you're analyzing it, stay patient. I get the point? Stay patient. Through faith and patience. He said it is good. I think it's Lamentation 3 verse 26 that said it is good for a man to wait for the salvation of the Lord. Lamentation 3 26, yes. It's good for a man to wait for the salvation of the Lord. To wait. To wait. Wait for the Lord's salvation. Now this was talking about the coming of Jesus. They were to wait for the coming of the Messiah. And now I'm using this to say to you, when God has made a promise, wait. Do you know how long they waited for the salvation of the Lord to come? Do you know how long they waited for the promise of the Messiah to come? Do you know how long they kept hearing a virgin shall conceive and be with a child? Do you know how long? But they waited. Be patient. You can't rush God. Do you understand? You can't rush God. Be patient with Him. Be patient with Him. Be patient with Him. I get the point. Hallelujah. Said if we hope for what we see not, then let us do it. Let us with patience wait for it. Romans chapter 8 verse 25. He said if we hope for that which we see not, let us do it with patience. You are hoping what you do not see yet. Do it with patience. So what are you hoping for this year? Do it with patience. With patience. With patience. Because if you let impatience slip in, it's going to drop you in the zone of worry and gradually you're going to quit. It is actually impatience that produces unbelief. But just get impatient. The unbelief is going to get in. So that's why I told you during immersion, faith is not the only force that controls things. Remember I told you that? That is faith. Patience is another thing. Patience. Because I was saying that immersion, the wrong way to teach faith is to teach faith as though it is a magic wand that once you use it, everything will work. That other things you cannot ignore. Patience is one. So, as you are declaring, because, you know, it was a tough thing for me when I was growing up in the world of faith. They just tell us, speak, speak, you shall have. But soon as you finish speaking, and things get worse. What they did teach us too was patience. You do not sow and reap. You sow, you wait, you reap. That's how it works. That's why I say we will reap if we faint not. So you sow, you wait, you reap. So when you receive a prophetic word, you see why prophetic words fail. Someone has rejoiced in church, glory, glory. Then January, February, things are not working and all of that. Maybe God has given you a promise of a life partner. That this month, this year, I'm going to help. You're going to make progress in your relationship and all of that. And you've received it. Now, Valentine is coming. And all their skits will fill social media. That's why you must be very careful. Some things are funny. We can laugh with them. But be careful when the devil is getting into your heart. Well, now I'm laughing. See, if you don't have bae, you are, you know those kind of things. That playing, you are laughing. But it begins to affect your heart. Am I a spoon? Am I a bag of onions? You know, it just begins to come. And you begin to consider, did I even hear, what did God even say to me? Impatience is stepping in. So on that day, everybody just posting both real and fake pictures. Real and fake. The earlier you find out that life is not Nollywood, the better for you. But let's not go there. Real and fake. Real and fake.
People just say, my guy just did me breakfast in bed. And videos it and post it. You mind not that they staged it. Both of them. Who is the camera person? Why was the man dressed like that in bed? Who sleeps like that? Who sleeps dressed like that? Don't you know how you sleep in your house? Without your worn out singlet. That's how you sleep. And who sleeps that way? But for that day, it's going to look very proper. Satan is ready to sow seed of impatience in your heart. You don't know how you sleep. I'm talking to brothers now. How many brothers have nightwear? And the few that I have, many family wear it. You just sleep. But the day they're going to post that picture, the guy is going to be on his proper nighty. Be wiser this year. Because those things, life is not Hollywood. And you now say, did you wake up? Is that how you wake up? You don't know how you wake up. We all know how we wake up. Now, Satan is trying to sow seed of impatience into your heart. You're not going to say, it's true. It's only me that did not get anything. Be wise. And this in every way. Do you know people patronize themselves in their business and screenshot it and post? That they patronize, they send money to themselves, screenshot it and say, we are making sales. Like, you're not getting into unnecessary tension. Like, you're the only one losing in life. Stay patient. God is working out something. I told you, whenever God says a thing, it is because he has finished it. Whenever God, it could take time. Stay patient. It is good that a man should patiently wait for the Lord's salvation. If we hope for what we see not, let us do it with patience. Let's do it with patience. With patience. And while you are waiting, in closing now, I'm going to say two things. Pray a lot and put the word on your lips. Just to reiterate it again. Pray a lot, a lot. Any word that you receive from God that you do not take to prayer is not going to work. Now, hear this. The prayer is not to convince God. Whatever God has said, he already has finished it. Don't forget that. That prayer is, first of all, it helps your own heart to keep you in the right place, state of mind. Then, it's dealing with whatever hindrance that is rising against that word. Maybe there is somebody that needs to cooperate, but he has said he doesn't want to cooperate. Maybe your file is in one office. Maybe your case is on somebody's desk. And that person doesn't want to cooperate. Or sometimes he even wants to cooperate, but he has forgotten about that thing. He has moved on. Something is going to happen. That as he's scattering things in his office, he will come across that file. Something is going to happen. That's what happened to Mordecai. The king could not sleep one night. And he just told them, bring me the documents and start reading them to me. And they were just reading them to him. And suddenly he heard about the exploit of Mordecai. He was like, what? Did we reward this guy? They said no. So it wasn't, in this case, the king wasn't a wicked king. He just forgot. And there are many of you that your prophetic words are hanging because someone has forgotten. Prayer will bring it to their memory. And for real. Someone has innocently forgotten that there is a case like that. Now you just can't say, it did not work. Why not get to prayer? Prayer can bring it to someone's memory. Prayer can, the king could not just sleep. He said, why did that happen? Did you not remember? Esther chapter 4. Gather your maidens. Gather the Holy Spirit to fast for me. Myself and my maidens are going to fast for 3 days. And I will go and see the king. And if I perish, I perish. Esther 4 verse 16. They went on that 3 days fast. The next time, the king couldn't sleep. The guy stayed awake all night, just pacing around. Pacing around. Pacing around. Prayer can keep people awake. It can. So when there is a prophetic word hanging, that's why this year, don't just go about complaining. Pastor said it didn't work. I heard from God, it didn't work. All this, let me tell you, we Christians, we deceive ourselves. We pray and we claim that we hear things from the Lord and we are just lying to ourselves because it doesn't work. You know, you are a fool because I don't deceive myself. I've heard many from the Lord and it happened that the Lord said it to me. You know that you have. That's why some of you here, let me even tell you why some of you doubt whether you can hear God or not, because you don't know how to contend with prophetic words. Strike can always make you
feel like you don't hear God. Because there are many things that you think you heard from God that did not work. Imagine God said something in January and you held on to it and you saw it in March. When God says another one in March, there's no place to doubt it. You know that God spoke to me. That's how I can even speak to people. When I came to you, I tell you, thus says the Lord. Do you know why I can tell you like that? It is the same voice I heard in my room that worked in my own life that I heard now about you. Same voice. Same voice. I heard God tell me he will change my life. And he changed my life. So when I hear God tell me he will change your life, I believe it because I have the experience. Content for your prophetic words. Content. Content. Any word I give you, I've given you an assignment. I get the point. Every time you receive a word, have a new assignment. Take it to prayer. What did Daniel do in Daniel chapter 9? He said, I understood by the books, verse 2, that we should stay in captivity for only 70 years. And in verse 3, Daniel chapter 9, verse 2, and in verse 3, he said, I set my face before the Lord. I began to fast. He was on that fast for 21 days. He began to seek the Lord by prayer, by supplication, with fasting. There are times you pray. I get the point. Isaiah 62 and verse 6 and verse 7. He said, I've set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. He said in verse 7, he said, give the Lord no rest until he makes Jerusalem a prince in the earth. Now, it doesn't mean you're worrying God and saying, God, you are the one holding back. But it just means stay in prayer until what God has said over Jerusalem comes to pass. And I'm going to say that to you. Stay in prayer until what God has said about you happens. Stay in prayer. Don't stop. And that's why the book for this month is Prayer Force. There's a chapter in that Prayer Force called Turning Prophecies to Manifestation. Stay in prayer. Stay there. Pray. Fight. Do not blame God. I wish I can write a book titled Don't Blame. We blame God over too many things. And the good thing about God is that you cannot beat him. So you are blaming him. He's a foolish God. He's a stupid God. God is mad. God is that. You won't see him. There are people engaging the principles and their life is moving forward. What has God said to you? Decide. The next time you look at your word notes, tell your word notes everything written here. By 31st December will be my reality. Because God has never lied to me. He has never lied to anybody to start with. So why should I be a proof that God lies? Why should my life be what people use to reference that God is a liar? I get the point. They say, when God speaks, he does it. They say, did he not speak to that girl? Did he do it? Let my life not be that example. Let my life be the example of when God speaks, he does it. And somebody says, it's not true. He said, look at that guy. I remember when we were in school in third year, he used to tell me that God told him he will work in a multinational. And I tell you now, he works in a multinational. Now, that's the kind of thing. So when they look at it, they say, God bless this one. I was in a church, and a man of God, his friend was speaking. His friend was telling his members, the pastor is a very wealthy guy, and all of that. And he told them, he said, you see, this is your pastor. Even if he did not become a pastor, he will still be a very wealthy man. He told them, he said, because from the time when we were in school, before we even knew he was going to pastor, he had that certain confessions about his life. You get the point? He was telling them. Before the guy ever got a call to ministry, he already hit an oil contract before ministry. So I was telling him, this one, pastor or no pastor, the trajectory of his life already showed that he was going to get there. I get what I'm talking about. And I'm saying this for a reason. In prayer, fight for prophetic words. Prayers, confessions. Prayer, confession. You're praying, you're confessing. Give me verse 8. Give him no rest till he establish and till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Verse 8 of this verse. He said, the Lord has sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength. Surely I will no more give thy corn to be meat for thy enemies. So that was a promise God made to them. That it was on that account that Isaiah said, give the Lord no rest. So pray. It's not God you are worrying. We know that. Pray. Prayer will even keep out those doubts in your heart. Prayer will even bring clarity to the word spoken to you. Very, very seriously now. There are words that God has spoken to you.
that you don't actually understand them fully. So if God has said, for instance, God said, I'm going to make you a billionaire. There are 2001 ways to be a billionaire on earth. In prayer, you begin to get more clarity on what actually he's trying to say. So in Acts 13, verse 2, the word of the Lord came, separate unto me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work that I have sent them. And then in verse 3, what did they do? They fasted and they prayed. And now laid eyes on them. So they were fasting and praying. The Lord said, separate unto me, Barnabas and Saul. After the word, okay, what did they do after that? Go back to verse 2. Read me, everybody. So what were they doing before the Holy Ghost said? They were ministering to the Lord and fasting. So they were in prayer and fasting, and the Holy Ghost told them what to do. Prophetic direction. Verse 3. What did they do after the Holy Ghost said? When they had fasted, and so they fasted again and prayed. So they were fasting when the word came. When the word now came, they now began to even fast properly. Because separate unto me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work I've sent them. It's a very vague statement. What is the work he has sent them? Where is he sending them to? Is it to Abuja or to Lagos? The first word just contained a fact. God has separated Barnabas and Saul. They now got to prayer. I'm sure in that prayer, they now said, okay, they should go to the Gentiles. I get what I'm talking about. So when those words come, you pray, you get more clarity. You get more clarity on what to do and what not to do. So they don't just get excited and run out. You pray. In fact, in that prayer, you even receive strength to wait. Because it's not easy to wait. I was talking about wait. It's not easy to wait. In prayer, you even receive strength to wait. What did the Bible say? They that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount upon wings as eagles. And you wait upon the Lord in prayer. You want to be very strong when you are waiting. Pray. How to wait is to wait in prayer. How to wait is not to cross your leg and say, I'm waiting for the Lord. How to wait is to wait in prayer. When you wait in prayer, you will be stronger while you wait. And as you are waiting, keep God's word on your lips. Pray and speak. So what's the difference between praying and speaking? Praying is that you are speaking to God. You are engaging things. You are engaging forces, praying over the thing. Speak. Confession is that you are now speaking forth those things you heard in prayer. They are not the same thing. But both of them are very important. So I finished praying over this matter, and God gives me more assurance. I just keep saying it. The Lord has blessed me. The Lord has made me a sign and a wonder to the world. I gave a general word this year that God said this year is making us a sign and a wonder. That's a general word. You see, you have a portion in that word. You can only find that portion in prayer. I mean, your personal portion, that word. There is a personal instruction for you in that word. You will not see it until you get to pray. Because I've given the general idea of the thing. There is prosperity, there is ministry, all of them inside that word. There are other instructions God will give you in that word. So you pray as you wait. You wait as you pray. Actually, to wait is to pray. How you wait is to pray. You don't wait by being idle or by being lifeless or by doing nothing. You wait by prayer. Now, let me stop this here. On Sunday, I'm going to say a few more things around the idea of impartation, how to receive impartation. But let me say this. I'll be saying, I want to say it again. Make up your mind that nothing the Lord has said to me will not happen. To start with, he doesn't lie. So when he tells me, it will not be me that will tell people that God said a thing and it failed. And I will not lie. I will not lie and tell people that God, it actually worked. It will really work. That's what I'm trying to say. I don't say you should tell a lie. Make up your mind that anything God says to me, I'm going to see that it happens. Anything he says to me. Everything I said to you about ministry this year, you're going to hold on. There are a few more things I wanted to say, but I think I'll push them to the next part of this teaching. Well, that is action too, but let's leave it. So watch out for the instruction. Pray. Confess the word. Fight for the word God has given you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lift your hands.
Glory to God.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.